of customers have had their water shut off greater than 30 days. And I am still quite alarmed at that figure. And I said at the time, to me, that constitutes child abuse. And I want to be clear that when I said that, I was never implying Water Bureau personnel are at all responsible. It's the parents or caregivers who I hold accountable for this. And I'm also not asking that they somehow be forgiven of their obligations. And what I want to propose, and I'll throw it out now and then we can talk about it later, but I think one way to get at this issue would be to have, at the time of a shutoff, there is a face-to-face visit, according to the legal memo I read. So a Water Bureau employee is meeting with that actual customer that's about to be shut off. I would like that Water Bureau employee to note whether there's any sign of children on the premises. And then I would propose that the Water Bureau, on a quarterly basis, take all those households' residential accounts that have been shut off for more than 30 days and provide those to the Department of Human Services Child Protective Service Unit. So that's what I think is what I'm looking for. And I don't know how large of a number that is, so I guess I need some help on that. How large is that 8% of people that have had their water shut off greater than 30 months? But I think it's tractable, and I think it's our obligation. I mean, there are – this may not rise to the cause of mandatory reporting per se, and this may not constitute child neglect per se, but it certainly could be a condition if a child is suffering malnutrition, dehydration, or living in unsanitary conditions, i.e. no toilets flushing. And I think we need to recognize that, you know, too many children are living in their own private hells, and we have an obligation. You know, as it doesn't rise to the level of a mandatory reporter, but we have an obligation to our kids to make sure that they're not living in these situations. And so, I think what I'm proposing is fairly straightforward, fairly simple to do.
So first of all, Dan, let me say on behalf of the Bureau, we look forward to working with you to craft legislation for council consideration that does just that. We do have some legal analysis that we've been provided with, which gives us some boundaries we have to observe. And there's also an additional House bill that passed recently that has a stricter prohibition on us collecting any data which would have the effect directly or indirectly of serving the purposes of ICE. So we have to be careful about collecting data in a house that could be used by law enforcement to therefore enforce federal laws that we disagree with. But because you raised this broader question and you have been the champion for children on council, what we did is we did a point-in-time analysis because you were very specific in your comments that you wanted to see not anecdotal evidence, but you wanted to see some actual data. So if you can pass these down, colleagues, in December, and we have a few of these if anyone in the public wants them. What we did, Dan, is in December, we did a deep dive on shutoffs. So let me just set the stage because this flows from a chart that the auditor's office put in the audit. And what Commissioner Saltzman is referring to is that in 2015, 8% of our shutoffs were for more than a month. Now, 60% were shutoffs that lasted less than a day, 11% one day, 13% a couple of days. So something around 80% of our shutoffs are 0 to 2 days. But Commissioner Saltzman focused on the 8% that are 1 month or more. And frankly, that should concern us. That's a long time to be going without the basic services of water, sewer services. So with a point-in-time analysis, what Kathy did is that she took some staff and she reviewed all the accounts that had been open beyond 30 days. And so that's just a retrospective look, all the accounts. And what she found is that total residential accounts are 160,000. At the time, in January, there were 270 shutoffs that had been in effect for 30 days or more. That's a 6% rate, not an 8% rate, but as the auditor's report reflects, 2015 was not a hard number. It was a number that changed with circumstances. So it just happened that in January, when we looked at this, the rate was 6% of our shutoffs were 30 days or more. So of those, the Bureau determined that 246 out of 270 total shutoffs were in unoccupied properties. And Commissioner Salzman, we're happy to give you and all my colleagues the backup data. But what we're talking about is an abandoned home, a home that has a for sale sign, or typically a home where there's a legal dispute among parties. It's unoccupied, but someone is determining the legal status of the home. So 160,000 accounts, 6% of the total shutoffs in January were for a 1 month or more. That's a total of 270 shutoffs. Of those, 246 we determined were unoccupied through one category or another. So what we're left with is 24 homes that we believe are occupied, not sure by whom, and for whom this 30-day shutoff could be a bigger burden. What we don't know is who lives there. We don't know if they live there on a regular basis. We don't know whether they have they go to the local community center and shower, you know, at a parks facility. We don't know whether they have a relative around the corner or they shower. We don't know any of that. What the auditor in her analysis encouraged us to do was to get better at data collection. And so that's part of our challenge, is to have better data and then better data driving our decision making. My commitment to you, Commissioner Salzman, ahead of the IGA, is we'll take a look at your concept. We'll bring the city attorney in because she's raised flags about privacy, about not doing the bidding of ICE, and about the fact that there is no current agency which has jurisdiction over someone just because water is not being provided. And for example, we know there are children living in tents with their parents. We know there are children living in cars. We know there are children living in abandoned RVs. Technically, they are also all in the same category of not being, not having, you know, regular water sewer services. So we want to be careful as we calibrate this, that we figure out if there is an agency that has jurisdiction. And we also want to make sure two things. One is we don't want to put any undocumented child in harm's way. And number two, we don't want to put some low-income parent in a situation where they're now dealing with a state bureaucracy over something over they have no control, which is episodic poverty. That said, I understand from your heart where this comes from in terms of there being a child that's not receiving the services. So my commitment, Mayor, is that we will work with Dan to see if we can come up with a proposal well in advance of when we bring the IGA to council for council discussion and consideration.
Good. This is good data, and I appreciate it. And that seems like a reasonable thing to do. I'd like to see where the data leads us on this. And I think Commissioner Salzman is right to raise the issue from a values perspective. And let's see where the data takes us and what kind of proposals you can work out collectively.
And if I could just say, having seen this point in time data, we're talking maybe about 24 households a month, so that's maybe 75 a quarter that would be forwarded to the Department of Human Services as a residential account that's had its water shut off more than 30 days. And all we're doing is giving the data to DHS. I mean, they can cross-index it with whatever data they may have on a household and make a decision to act or not. And I don't believe, I mean, DHS is a state agency. I don't believe any sharing with ICE is going to be occurring.
It's one issue in particular about us collecting data beyond the scope of our need in terms of providing our service, which could ultimately trigger some reaction, some legal change, some administrative action where the city might have potential liability. I think that's a question where our lawyers can help us navigate those waters. I had the same reaction, Dan, when I saw the numbers, because you said, let's not talk anecdotes. Because you remember at that same hearing, I said, my understanding is the vast majority of these are unoccupied homes. You asked for the data, so we did the point in time. The fact that it's only 24 should encourage us, but it also makes it easier for us to tailor a kind of remedy along the lines that you're proposing. So we'll take a look at it, we'll work with your office, and we'll see whether we can get something that's blessed by the city attorney and bring it to council.
Commissioner Udaly wanted to get in here.
So I think we should be concerned, and we have an obligation to assist people who are living without essential services, but I couldn't support a punitive action that feels like criminalizing poverty. I would rather see us do something akin to the get legal program that we used to have at BDS and that we're going to be bringing back, where we work with low-income homeowners with significant code health and safety violations to get their property back up to basic livable standards. DHS is a struggling agency. I don't know that they would or could intervene. I mean, I used to work in childcare, so I've had the unfortunate experience of having to report a couple incidents to DHS, and I was told on one of them that a parent can threaten violence all they want, that they can't intervene until or unless the violence is happening. So I really don't know what they could do in this circumstance, but I'd be very hesitant to engage in that.
Well, this is a provocative conversation, and I don't think we're going to resolve it here, but it's an important issue. It's on the table, and let's see what you can make of it.
So, Mayor, that concludes our presentation. I'd like, if you would take the last word, but again, I want to thank the professionals sitting on this side of the table for a superb presentation. Some of our best work that's presented in these kinds of settings looks like it's something that was just cooked up over the last weekend and was a walk in the park. This has taken a very long time. Kathy has been going to national conferences for years where other cities have struggled with the same question, and they've not come up with a workable solution. This is our chance to be an innovative city, to try something new, to do it with a limited amount of new bureaucracy, to target the most vulnerable people, and to do it consistent with our charter. It has never been obvious to us that this is the path, but this team actually is the team that has delivered a possible path forward, and I'm just very proud of their work.
Well, this has been a great presentation, and I think it's a very innovative solution. And Commissioner Fish, I want to thank you for bringing it forward, and I'm sure we're all very eager to see what this looks like as it comes back for its final policy approval and its budgetary requests. A job well done. Thank you all. We're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you notice the part that the editor has put that over? I think it's a lot of people.
Yes, times, huh? I'm putting stuff up.
Thank you.
I got to get out of here while I got a doctor's
shit. I can go back. So nice to see you guys again.
Hey,
you're coming home. It's pretty fancy, though.